Genesis chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs and yielded seed after his kind. And the trees yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now what we've looked at here is the law of reproduction, the law of life. Paul talks to us in Colossians about the law of life in Christ Jesus. Well, we're going to look at that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, he spake in times past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who in the brightness of his glory. Now the Greek word glory there is a Greek word doxa. And it means the opinions and the values and the judgments of God. So being the brightness of God's opinions, the brightness of God's values, the brightness of God's judgment, you see, because every father wants his children to be raised up with their opinions, with their values, and with their judgments. And so he says, and the express image of his person. Amen. Person. The express image. Now, an image is not the original. An image is a duplicate of the original. Notice the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance. Notice, by inheritance, he obtained a more excellent name than they. Why by inheritance? Because Brother Branham said, I'm a Branham. He said, I'm a Branham because my daddy was a Branham. Jesus was Jesus because his daddy was Jesus. Jesus himself says, I come in my Father's name. You see? Now, in fact, if you're in the family of God, the whole host of heaven is named what? Jesus. Okay, that's our surname. I mean, that's our... Look, if that's our Father's name, that's who we are. Amen? And we're identified with that name. Now, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Amen. If we could at this time, in reverence for his word, we bow our heads. Let us pray. Dear Father, we once again approach thee this evening under the precious blood of your Son Jesus, whose blood carried in it your very own life. And we know that we have access to your blood because we are walking the light as you were in the light. And we know that even before your Son Jesus was brought forth into that body, he was your original spoken word seed, and in that seed was life because it came forth from thee. Because you, Father, are the great fountain of life. And before the foundation of the world, when you begat your firstborn son, he came forth in your very own image. And we know that when a body was prepared for him to live in, it was you, Father, that prepared that vessel for your body, for your son to tabernacle within. Yes. And we know and understand that that body was projected forth from your mind into that very image. Your very own image. Because we understand that every seed must come forth in the image of the original life that it came forth from. That's your law of reproduction. Help us, Father, to know our source of life, and to let go, and to let the very nature of you, our Father, come forth as it was ordained before the foundations of the world to come, in order for us to live as you ordained for us to live. For as we read in Acts 17:28, for in him, in you, Father, if we live, and we move, and we have our being, for we are your offspring. Amen. And so we commit all of this into the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I would like to speak concerning the life projected. Looking at the life projection, projected, or the projecting of life. And we're looking at the original being, of course, Brother Ransom, the spoken word is the original seed. Yes, to be projected forth into manifestation, just as the Scripture declares the projection of God into the body of His Son, in which that body of the Son became a very expressed image of God to men. Notice Jesus never claimed, He never came and said, "Look at me." He never said, I'm declaring myself. He said, "I've come to declare the Father." In Hebrews 1:3, we read, "Who being the brightness of His glory," His opinions, His values, His judgment, "and the express image of His person." Now, first of all, let's look at the word "express image." It says He is the express image of His person, of God's person. Now, this word "express," it means to set forth, it means to manifest and to show forth. It means to make known. It means to convey a representation. It means to represent. It actually also means to squeeze or press out. To send by special messenger. And in genetics, and most of the dictionary definitions come from the genetics, it means to cause itself or to produce an effect. It means it's used as of in a gene. It says the gene expressed itself. To manifest the effects of a gene, the people who inherit the gene express it. To manifest a genetic trait, all in the study express the trait or the nature. And it is interesting that in our dictionary, as I mentioned, over half of the definitions concerning the word "express" have to do with genetics expressing an inherited trait or nature. So Paul, it's no wonder that he said he was the express image. He's talking genetics. He was the express image of the DNA of God.
Yes.
Now, in Hebrews 1:3, we're told of Jesus in reference to God, His Father, that He is the express image of His person. Jesus is the express image of God, His Father. Of God, the Father's person. Now, as I mentioned before, this word "person," that Jesus is the express image of, we all know that it speaks of God Himself, His Father. Yet in Hebrews 1:11, Paul uses the same Greek word that he used for the word "person." And it's a Greek word, hypostasis. And he says, now faith is the substance. Now when we think of substance, we think of a thing. We think of, you know, maybe material. We think of dust. We think of cosmos, whatever. But Paul says faith is the substance. Faith is the hypostasis. Faith is the person.
Amen.
Of things hoped for. The person, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a person, not a person, not a substance, but the person.
Amen.
Then if you do not have that person, how can you have faith?
Amen.
Amen. Now faith is the person. Faith is the substance that we hope for. In 2 John, in verse 9, we read, if you do not have the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God.
Yes.
And therefore, God, who is the Holy Ghost, is what we hope for. He is the substance of what we hope for. He is the evidence of what we do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Because He is the invisible, immortal King. And so we see that Jesus was projected from the mind of God into a physical substance as a person in order to reflect the very nature of God to a lost and dying world. That's why Brother Branham said Jesus was the expression of God's character. He was the expression of God's love for humanity. Now from his sermon identification, Brother Branham said, but when he seen that creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ. Excuse me. God's own character of love projected himself into a man. Christ. As Paul's speaking here, thinking not robbery, but making himself equal to God, rather. See, his own character molded that kind of a person. That no one but God could have done that. And last week we heard that Brother Bram said about him and Sir, who was he, Jesus? He said, now Jesus was born for one purpose. And that was for God to manifest himself through that body God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, most people read that and they say God was Christ. The Bible does not say that. It says God was in Christ. I have water in a glass. I don't have water glass. I have water in a glass. God was in Christ. You see, the body is not deity, but he dwelt in the body. Those are Brother Branham's words. Those are not mine. Now, he was a body that was made physical that men and women could see what he thought and his expression to the people in his gratefulness. God's gratefulness. God's gratefulness expressed through a body, the body of a son. Christ seemed to be a dual personality, Brother Brown says. He would speak sometimes and they scratched their heads and they didn't understand him. He'd speak one thing one time, looked like, and then something else another time. He said, what is it? It was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man, Christ was the God that was in him. Not me that doeth the works, but my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no one. So you see, it is exactly what John says in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. Notice he says, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now remember, the Father is the invisible, immortal King.
Amen.
You can't see Casey O'Dell here. So somehow God had to project himself through a vessel in order for us to see him.
Amen.
To hear him. You understand? Alright, so we saw the literal source of life live itself out among men in the body of his Son. God expressing himself in his Son, Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Why? Because he was so one with God that all he did was what the Father showed him to do. John 5:19. The Father worketh, and the Son worketh to the do. Now, Brother Branham said in the sermon, Christ is identified the same. He said, he was the manifestation of God. He was God in Christ. You see, that word in is very important. It's only one, it's only two letters, but it's very important because if Noah was not in the ark, he was lost.
Amen.
He had to understand what the word in meant in his day. And we have to understand what the word in meant in our day.
Amen.
You understand? Because our ark is Christ. And if we're not in Christ, have we missed the ark? You see, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. He said, I do always that which pleases the Father. You know, that's the same testimony Enoch had. You know, that's supposed to be the same testimony the bride of Jesus Christ had at the end time. He says, I and my Father are one because the Father dwelleth in me. Now, I'm still reading from Brother Branham here. From Christ identified the same. He said, I and my Father are one. The Father dwells in me. When you see me, you see the Father. In other words, now he's going to tell us what that means. In other words, he expressed God, the Spirit, so much in him that he and the Father, it wasn't robbery to him to be the same person. Now this is where people get mixed up. They do like the oneness and say God and Jesus are one like the fingers one. And yet Brother Branham says God and Jesus are not one like the fingers one. So what does he mean that it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person? He said, when you see me, you see the Father because the Father dwelling in me. He said, the Son can do nothing. But what the Son seeth the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. Now we all know Brother Branham taught us about the hat had to be on the chair. You've all probably heard this, where Brother Branham said that the way the visions work, the scene had to be exactly to every detail, exactly the same as what he was now seeing in the natural. If the vision had been different, he had to wait for the hat to be on the chair before he could say, thus saith the Lord. Alright. Now, so when Jesus said the Son can do nothing unless he sees the Father do, when God then told Jesus to walk past 300 people, to walk to the back, and there was one man laying on a pallet. I want you to lay hands on him and tell him to be healed. Stand up and rise to be healed. Jesus walked through 300 people, as Brother Branham told the story, and he said there were more people there. Of the 300, there were probably people that had more a need of healing than that man, he said, who might have had just prostrate trouble or some type of a trouble where he could live with it. Some of these people were there, they were desperate, they were going to die. But Jesus walked past all of them, and then they said, why did you do that? John 5:19, the Son can do nothing. Brother Brown said, Jesus was dependent upon a vision from the Father, or he was helpless. Now, we all have seen the video of the Brother Brown and the film and things like that. And Brother Brown said, now, you know who I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him. I'm helpless until he comes. Amen. Same difference. From the same way as Jesus. All right. Now, you might think, well, how could two beings be one? Because Brother Brown said he expressed God the Spirit with so much in him that he and the Father, it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person. So you say, well, how could two beings be one being? How could another person become the other person? How could that be? Well, Brother Brown always taught us, if you have the spirit of Dillinger, you're going to rob things. If you have the spirit of Beethoven, you're going to create music. If you have the spirit of God in you, you will do the works of God.
Yes.
You see, you know, there's people that say, well, you know, John 14:12, that's only for Brother Branham. Yes. Well, then Brother Branham's the only believer. I have news for you. You know, they say, well, see, he is singular, and it's just one person, and he's a believer in me, the works that I do shall he do also, the greater works shall I do. Well, we know Brother Branham did the greater works, but you know, that's just Brother Branham. Well, and he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, only Brother Brown too. He that believeth on me shall not be ashamed, like I said, only Brother Brown too. You understand? And what we've done is we've intellectually exercised ourselves away from the conforming to the image of the firstborn son. All right. So, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you do the works of God. Because we are three parts of our being, and two parts our spirit, while the outer flesh is just a mask, or just a vessel for our spirit and soul to dwell in, or to live themselves out of. Therefore, if we are born again, and God's very own life is growing up within us, then should not that spirit act out its own nature in this flesh? Should not the very nature of the life that is taking over your vessel project that nature through your vessel?
Amen.
That's why when Brother L. preached for Brother Rabb in 1963, he preached why we don't see much of Mark 16 in the church today. And his main theme was because God is holy, his spirit is holy. And if you claim to have the Holy Spirit, then why is your vessel unclean? In other words, how could a Holy Spirit put his holy nature into an unholy vessel? All right? Yeah.
Amen.
Brother Branham went on to say, he preached that message, and he said, I got 8 pages of notes from that. And he said that he preached a message called Humble Thyself. He said, God can use people and magnify himself through them if they're not humble, because they want to have the glory. Jesus never said, hey, look what I've done. He said, no, he said, the Son can't do anything but what he sees the Father do.
Amen.
Now, from his sermon identification, Brother Brown said, now we notice that if you were in that day, what group would you be identified with? With the prophet that vindicated word, although they were in the minority, or would you be with that popular opinion folks? Well, I tell you, I believe that man's crazy, they would say. And the only way that you never know he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing he revealed to Moses.
Yes.
And the only way that we'll ever be able to be the images of God and the sons of God is for God to reveal to us and express himself through his word to us and to the world. That's the only channel. For Christ was the image here on earth that you could see God in a man, expressed image of God, because God was in him so much that they were one.
Amen.
And now when Christ left, he sanctified the church that the church might take his place and express the word of God. You see, people say, well, when Jesus prayed, he said, Father, he said, my prayer is that they be one, even as, which means in the same way, you and I are one. And he says in John 17, 22, he says, Father, I have given them thy glory. Now the word glory in the sense of doxa, it's Greek word doxa, and doesn't mean some great flashing light. It means God's opinions and God's values and God's judgment. We say what he says. We act like he acted. We live like he lived. We do the works that he did. He said, I have given them, basically what he's saying is, I have given them thy mind, that they might be one as Father, you and I are one. See, and then you'll notice, later on Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word, and I and my Father will come in, and we will make our abode with you. And someone says, well, okay, now God's here, and Jesus the man, how can he come into me? Jesus was the expression, he was the manifested word. God is the word, the original. Jesus was an expression, therefore, I and my Father. I, the expression, I, the manifestation of the Word, which is Father, because He's the source of all life, He is life. We will come in to you. And you will not only become Word, but you will become manifested Word. Now, see, William Branham knew. There came a time, William Branham came to the revelation. He said, Malachi 4, Spirit of Life. Revelation 10, there's an angel, a messenger. Luke 17:3, a son man revealing his son man. He saw that vision in the Bible, and Brother Ramsey, God has written his vision for us in his word. He saw that word and he had to step into it. When William Brown stepped into Malachi, more than he came, the manifestation of that word was. You understand?
Yes.
Now listen, Brother Brown said, Moses, when God spoke to Moses and speaking forward, he said, if Moses would have only spoke, nothing would have happened. Moses had to step into the water for the water to open. You understand? So when Joshua saw the pattern in Moses, when he came to the river Jordan, what did he do? He said, River Jordan, open up! Where's my staff? No, he stepped into the water and the water opened. When Elijah went up, they had to cross the river Jordan. He walks, he steps into the water, he picks up his mantle, smashes the water opened. He goes up in the chariot, hands down his mantle, because Elisha had said, when you go, Elijah said to Elisha, when I go, what's your desire? He said, I want double what you've done. Oh, that's selfish, that self-centered Elisha. No, he was so enamored by the glory of God being manifested through that vessel. He wanted God to do the same for him. I think it should be incumbent upon the bride of Jesus Christ to desire to have at least have greater works. Listen, if Brother Bosworth would have greater works than Jesus, because he had 225 confirmed healings, some of them were actually people that were without eardrums, and God created eardrums. Now we say, well, you know, William Branham had greater works, and we saw little girl with no eyeballs, he prayed, and light streak came down, and filled those eyelids, and all of a sudden she had eyeballs, and Brother Brown looked at her, and oh my goodness, he said, I forgot to ask for color. He said, what color would you like? And she said, well, my mom would always say, blue was beautiful. And he said, okay, he said, Father, tell the girl, just Father, forgive your forgetful servant. Pray, Father, you give her blue eyes. And Billy Paul said, he looked. And the brother I told him, Father, yes, close your eyes. Billy Paul said, I'll have time to look. He said, and two blue eyes came down, filled her eyes, and now she had the most beautiful blue eyes. Now that's creative spoken word, right? Well, Brother Bosworth, before the message, he had prayed for people that had no eardrums, and God created eardrums. They brought a school from Chicago, the School of the Deaf. All the children they brought, and Brother Bosworth, Brother Bell knew him very well. So did Brother Bell. And Brother Bosworth, what was interesting about this is because he said, Brother Bosworth was like a little kid before Christmas time. or a little kid with a bag of candy, he got really giddy when he saw somebody in the line that had a problem because they were deaf. Because he has so much faith, because he's seen it so many times in his ministry. You see, the point I'm trying to bring across is faith. Faith, brother, sister, is the when you see the pattern in the scripture in front of you, and you see the need, the same need that was in that scriptural pattern, and you see that same need before you, you have a right as a son of God to step into that vision. And do the same thing in life, and did the same thing in life, and did the same thing in God, and did the same thing in Moses. Why do you think why do you think Martin and Columba, they both did the same thing? When Elijah, when his little boy was dying, he was dead, and Elijah put his mouth on his mouth, his hands on his hands, and he breathed in and he pronounced it, and the guy and the little boy came back to him. He breathed in the breath of life, just like God breathed into Adam the breath of life. That little boy came back to life. So, a few years down the road, Elisha, having followed Elijah around, he gets called on. There's a woman, her little boy has died. He does the same thing. His hands on his hands, mouth on his mouth, breathes into him, and the boy comes back from the dead. All right, now forward about 700 years, and you have Martin. Martin has a boy that's been studying for baptism. You know, they didn't just baptize people because they wanted to be baptized in those days. You know, Paul says, "Ye are dead. Ye are dead. And your life is hid with God in Christ." Yes. You know, we're buried with Him in baptism. Buried. In the natural, we bury people when they're dead. But in the church, it seems that it doesn't matter. That's the problem we have. And that's why we bury people in baptism and they fall backwards. Because they never died. They have never died to themselves. And Brother Ramsey, you can't receive the Holy Ghost, he said, unless you have died first. That is critical. All right? Well, Martin saw this young man. He'd been studying under Martin for 6 months. Martin had been away preaching. He heard that the boy had been taken up and he died. Martin came back, got everybody out of the room, put his hands in his hands, his mouth in his mouth, and God restored that life. The next generation to come, Columba. Columba did the very same thing. You see, the pattern was Elijah, Martin, Columba. William Branham put his hands on the man's hands, his mouth on the man's mouth, and the man had died from tuberculosis. And you got faith to put your mouth in the mouth of a man who died from tuberculosis? He did. Why don't you have that faith? Huh? You're a son of God, aren't you? Well, let's act like it. When you see the scene and you see the same need, you have a right to step into that and do the same thing, because God is not a respecter of persons. He is the same. He changes not. He is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a pattern. God has given us His firstborn Son as the pattern for every son to follow. Okay. Now, so Brother Bram says that the only way that you'd ever know that he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing that it revealed to Moses. And the only way that we'll ever be able to be the images of God and the sons of God is for God to reveal to us and express Himself through His Word to us and us to the world. That's the only channel for Christ was the image here on earth that you could see God in a man, express the image of God, because God was in him so much that they were one. Amen. And now when Christ left, he sanctified the church so the church might take his place. Amen. And express the Word of God. Amen. Listen. We've all got some programs that the one is alone, Trinitarian are one. He said there's one God. He had a son. God indwelt the Son. He became the express image of everything that the Father was about. Amen. He said, and now He's gone. So God wants to do it with His church. Amen. Now, do we have two different laws, one for Jesus and one for you? Listen, if the whole world is groaning and travailing together, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, how are you going to manifest it? Well, some say, well, I guess through miracles. Listen, Balaam had miracles. That didn't manifest that he was the Son of God. The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Yes. by the things that he suffered. The only thing God's looking for in you and I is obedience. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. You see? Follow the pattern all the way through. We see that God uses his son. He used Joseph. Joseph became obedient. And then God used him. God never used anyone who wasn't obedient. Alright? Now. Okay. And Brother Brown Benjamin King says, we've got a good pastor, and I'm all right now. Now, those things are royal. I have nothing to say against them. That's true. But this plan of salvation, this plan of salvation is an individual affair with you. Speaking in tongues is a gift of God. Dancing in the Spirit is the presence and glory of God. But for you to let your character be molded into the image of God, that projects himself. And you are his idol, walking on earth, the expressed image of him.
Amen.
The problem is, people don't see him, they see you.
Amen.
Brother Brown says, my greatest enemy is William Branham. If I can die for William Branham, that the people might see Jesus Christ. As Paul said, I want to see nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay? Now, would you be willing to do that in the days of Noah, or would you have been on the critical side, criticizing both the prophet and his God-sent messenger? Now, think of it. Which side would you think, in your present state now, would you have taken? Now, be honest, pardon me, there's no need for me to try to say it, but you've got to think it yourself. So see that God wants to project his very life, his very nature into you and through your vessel, as he did through his own son, Jesus. In fact, Brother Ram said that God had a threefold plan. First, to project himself through the son, then his other children, he calls his church, and then finally to fellowship with us, like he did with Adam back in the garden before the fall. From Christ to the mystery of God revealed, he said, now that's when he can express the preeminence, as you see. He's not the man or the person, so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean, all right? Secondly, first, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have a preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, his bride, that he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. But see, if you're in the way, God can't do that. I pray every morning, say, Father, kill all pride. Kill me off, Father. May I be like Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not me that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation, by the same faith that Jesus had when he said, Father, not I will, but thy will be.
Amen.
You see? Now, and thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its right position that fell by sin in the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowship with them, and now sin and death has separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Again, from Christ to Mr. God, revealed says first to express himself in Christ, and then express himself through the church, the same thing. Christ was the Word, and the Word becomes, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept the hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? It's grounded. Then it causes a short and blows a fuse. But when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do, that's the expression, the works that I do shall you do also. And in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts, not the mind, not the intellect, but the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there, there'd be a time come forth when he could express himself in the fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church. Having the preeminence in this church. Oh my. What? The anointed man now, the anointed people. Oh my. To bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed to what? To my wife? Accepting what he turned down in Adam. Coming back with the anointing of the Word, because he said, my Word is Spirit. See, anointed with the Word. What he turned down, he comes back and we accept. Okay, from the message, Shalom, Brother Branson. Now, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him.
Yes.
See, in other words, God was identified. Now, the person of God was identified in the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the express image of God, or God expressing himself through an image. See, through an image, a man. God expressed himself to us, and he was God. Now, look, the image wasn't God, but the expression was God. When you see that expression, you see God. You understand? The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus. It doesn't say the gas bag. You know, one guy said, well, when Jesus died on the cross, he went up. He said, well, he said, all sacrifices, you know, the ashes and everything, well, he said, he just went back to gas. And I thought, well, it's very interesting that we have an intercession, that we have a mediator who's making intercession for our confession, and he's a gas bag. The man Jesus. But it was God expressing himself through that vessel. And the problem is people, they get stumbled by the vessel. They saw Brother Branham was God. Because they saw the expression of God. What are they going to do? What are you going to do? When people see so much Jesus Christ in you, that they want to make you God. You better know where you stand in the Word. So, he was the express image of God, or God expressing himself through an image. See, through an image, a man. God expressed himself to us, and he was God. Not a third person or a second person. He was the person, God. Now, who's he talking about? The expression. He's not talking about the vessel. We have a projector, we have a screen up here. And when you project that screen, on that screen, you have the waterfall. I saw it before church. Okay? This screen is not the waterfall. It's just a vessel without spot or wrinkle. And he's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle that he can project his image onto your screen. Now that doesn't make you God, but that makes you sons and daughters. And the expression is God. Amen. All right. Notice, not a third person or second person, but he was the person, God. He was his God himself, identifying himself so we could feel it. And from the message, as I was with Moses, Brother Ransom, when Jesus of Nazareth, I believe the Father was in him. Alright, again, in him. Alright, I believe he was in him. That all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed image of the Father. And in him dwelled all the richness of God indwelling in him here. Just as Jehovah, just what Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was the express image of him. He was God shaped out here, and all the powers of God formed into and put into a human body. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwells in me. He doeth the works. Now, I'm reading from the prophet. Now, I wish I would have been a little bit more prepared, brought a projector, or at least brought a way to project what I'm reading onto the screen so that you can see that what I'm reading is Brother Brown's words. I do this with my own church. They see we have we have my sermon projected on, and so they see everything I say is either Brother Brown or the Bible. I have nothing to say. And I want at the white throne that when my life is revealed back, I want it just to be an echo of what I've heard. And that is thus saith the Lord. Because the prophet said that the Spirit is in the bride, and the Word is in the bride, and she has the Spirit of Him, and you know what to do with that Word. He says, she has thus saith the Lord, which doesn't mean like a bunch of Pentecostal children running around, thus saith the Lord this, thus saith the Lord that. Thus saith the Lord means the Lord has already said thus. She has what the Lord has spoken. When Brother Brown said, say what's in the tape. Say only what's in the tape. Say all what's in the tape. That thus saith the Lord. She has thus saith the Lord. Or she just shuts her mouth. Alright. Now. From as I was with Moses, he said, when Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that God was in him, that all the great things that was the Father was given unto the Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed given to the Father, and in him dwelt all the richness of God dwelling in him. He said, I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me. Just as Jehovah, just what Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was the express image of Him. He was God shaped out here, and all the power of God formed into and put into a body. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that doeth me. Jesus saw the scene. He saw the need. He stepped into the scene. He stepped into the vision. And He became the materialization of that vision. Now, we must step into the same Word. And when we step into the same Word, because the same scene is there, the same need is there, we become the material Word. We become the manifested Word. We become the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
It's not rocket science. It's just letting go and letting go. Hallelujah. Now, from the spoken word of the original seed, we see in paragraph 21 and 22 that Brother Branham is telling us that every seed must come forth or express the nature of his kind. And we know he is talking about the Son of God coming forth or being projected as the very image of the Father. But in paragraph 23, he tells us that that the Word of God keeps going on and on and on, as if to tell us that God has other seed also that must come forth and be projected into that same image, reflecting the same nature. That's what being conformed to the image is all about. Now, from identification, Brother Ransom, now therefore, His loving character of love, for us, it makes plain, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. God projecting Himself.
Hallelujah.
And become man that he might have upon Him the form of His creation. In other words, He changed His tent. He spread it amongst human beings, and the infant Jehovah, crying in the manger. Now listen. He didn't say the big man Jehovah. He said, you know, people say, well, I thought that was Jehovah that was born over the manure pile. He said that was little Jehovah. Little Jehovah born over the manure pile. Little Jehovah playing in the street. Little Jehovah becoming a carpenter. But then one day God entered him, and now he says, and Jehovah came forth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God, Jehovah, entering into His Son, entering into little Jehovah. I love it. Because Brother Branham said the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel, that was in the pillar of fire that was in the cloud, the pillar of fire that was over the children of Israel, he said, came into His Son. And he said, now that became Jesus in Jesus. Because remember, it's Jehovah, and Jesus means Jehovah Savior. And in John 5, he says, I came in my Father's name.
Yes.
It's no wonder Brother Branham was a Branham.
Yes.
His daddy was a Branham. Yes. It's no wonder that Jesus was a Jesus because His Father was in Him.
Yes.
It's no wonder that you and I come into the express image of the Father because we have the same name. Because
yes.
And listen, Hebrews 1 and 8 says He received that name by inheritance.
Yes.
Every one of us, we inherit our Father's name.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Now, from identification, he talks about that loving expression of God projecting Himself, becoming man, that He might have upon Him the form of his creation. He says, the infant Jehovah crying in the manger. Could you imagine it? It ought to alarm the hearts of the believers. And what was that then? Could you imagine Jehovah being a baby in a manger in a stable of manure? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine little Jehovah playing in the boy is an example? Could you imagine Him as a teenager? Could you imagine Him as a carpenter shop? And could you imagine Him in such complete obedience to God?
Yes.
God being obedient to God?
Yes.
No, the vessel, the expression, the image. Being so obedient to God, dying on the cross to redeem His fallen creation, that's the kind of love that God had, and He had to become that in order to die to hold the sin of death. Now, from Christ to the mystery, God revealed, again, He says, God is not known by education. He's not known by how to explain. God is known by simplicity and the revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate person.
Yes, amen.
Let's just see some hands of people who are willing to admit we're pretty illiterate compared to these doctors and theologians. Okay.
See, it's not your theology. This is Brother Branham. Not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. No nothing. But on the exact, the revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth, he born in there, and no, listen, and injects. When I think of injection, I think of a needle going into your arm. And injects his own life, and your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you. Oh, I thought that was only William Branham. No. Is William Branham the only son that even formed the image of the firstborn son?
No.
All right. Injects his own life, and your life is gone, and the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminence to the people, that they see the very life and works and signs and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you. Outside of that, the rest of us not even called to at all.
Yes.
I had a man come to me one day, and he says, "Do you see Jesus in me?" And I said, "Well, brother, I'm sorry at all." I said, "I see him." And I said, "I'm sorry, Brother Michael, but I don't see Jesus Christ." He said, "Well, that's what everybody says." I said, "You need to receive the Holy Ghost. But you can't receive the Holy Ghost until you die to Michael. You have to come to the place where Michael is your biggest enemy, that you hate Michael more than anyone else. And you have to die to Michael. And then by the grace of God, he'll allow his spirit to live in you, because now you have a holy vessel to receive the Holy God."
Amen.
Now, in who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham spoke of projecting God's life into his sons, and here he calls it enmorph. He says that now the Greek word enmorph, it means that he changed his mask, and that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. God in the form of the Father, in the form of Spirit, in the form of the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and more, brought out so he could be seen. So, God spoke through a burning bush. Was the burning bush God? Nope. But the expression was. God spoke through the pillar of fire. Is the pillar of fire God? Nope. The pillar of fire is the Shekinah presence, showing you the expression where God's presence is at.
Amen.
God spoke through the pillar of cloud. Is the pillar of cloud God? No, the pillar of cloud is not God. It's an expression. And it's an image that God expressed himself through. God spoke through the rock, and the rock was called what? Christ. Now, is Christ Jesus? No. Jesus was a vessel. The rock was a vessel. The pillar of the burning bush was a vessel. All of them were anointed, because that's what the word Christ means. You know, you have the word Christ means anointer, anointed, anointing. We have to look at how it's used to know what it's talking about. Are you talking about the Father, talking about the Son, or talking about sons? Alright. Now, here's the thing. Now, the Greek word enmorph, it means that he changed his mask, and that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. Like Brother Bell told me many times, said, "Brian, get your eyes off the vessel, or you're going to get all confused." He said, "Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel." God used William Branham, but William Branham was not God. God used Apostle Paul to raise the dead, but Apostle Paul was not God. God used his son Jesus, and then why do we want to say Jesus himself is the Father? He's not. He's the Son of the Father. Look, we went through this with the ministry of me. There's hundreds, I mean, there's lots and dozens of scriptures where even Jesus calls God his God. Now, you can't have two gods. So you have to understand, in this instance, we're looking at the Son. We're not looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. The brother answered, Lord, Father, Jesus the Son, and Christ is that anointing. But Jesus, the man, had to be filled with God himself, become the Lord Jesus Christ, the vessel. As Paul said, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now listen, some people say, oh, God made him Lord, and God is Lord, because Paul said one Lord, one faith, and now all of a sudden here says, God made this one Lord, and now we've got two Lords. Don't you go there. If I have a glass of water, it takes glass that takes the water. Only one of the water. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in the man, in the Son.
Amen.
So if the fullness of the Godhead is not the body,
Amen.
That's only the vessel that was used to express the fullness of God.
Amen.
But the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Alright, just so that we know. So Brother Graham talking about the end more, the God changing man. Listen, God spoke through Balaam's donkey. Does that make God a jackass?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No way
at all. But God anointed the lips of a donkey to speak in a language which Balaam heard with his own ears.
Yes.
The Bible says these rocks will cry out.
Hallelujah.
If rocks cry out, does that make them God? No, the vessel is not God. The vessel is never God. But look, this screen is never you, even though I can project your image onto that screen. Amen? Hallelujah, we're getting something. All right. Now, the Vine's Greek dictionary tells us the meaning of it more is, number one, the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. I'm going to read that again. The form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. When the projector strikes the vision, you see what's in the projector. Amen? Now listen, it's an external appearance. Now I like this because faith is the person. Faith is the substance. Faith is the hypostasis. Faith is the person.
Amen.
We don't have faith in things, we have faith in people. We have confidence in people, not confidence in things. You see? Now, and Jesus was the express image of the person. And a morph is the form by which the person, God, strikes the vision. So the amorph with Jesus, the expression that we saw was when God, the person, struck the vision.
Amen.
And it takes light for that to happen. I love it.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean, to strike the vision? It means, as we see on this wall, as you see right now, we have just a blank wall, but when we turn on the projector, the light. You see, if there was no light coming from the projector, you can see the light up there. If you turn all the lights off, you see a stream of light projecting what's on the wall, right? If you walk in the light,
yes,
as He is in the light,
amen.
Yes,
you're walking in the light with Him.
Amen.
And as that light comes forth, He's got to project.
Yes.
And so when God projects, the light strikes the vision. And now you see the expression. The expression is God.
Amen.
Amen.
The expression, not the vessel. That screen, it looks like there's water there. That screen is just as flat, just as without spot or wrinkle, like the bride is supposed to be dressed in white, all without spot or wrinkle. But when you're walking in the light, that light is striking your vessel. And the expression is that Paul said, I am crucified. I know that I'm dead. I've died to Paul. But yet I'm living. And yet it's not Paul that's living, it's Christ. It's living in me. And the light now that people see, they're seeing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, expressing through this vessel by the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His vision through the conduit of His light strikes you and you reflect Him. Oh, hallelujah. Then it is no longer you that is living, but Christ is living in you. You are crucified to yourself, but nevertheless you are living.
Amen.
Yet it's not you that's living, but it's Christ that's living in you and expressing himself through you. And the life that you're now living in your flesh, you're living by the faith of the Son of God, whose faith is living itself out in your life for you, in you, and through you. From Colossians 3 and 4, we read, when Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear.
Yes.
Now, that's the image of your life. And where is he appearing? Huh? Turn that one on.
Without that light reflecting, all you see is the light in the
background.
But when that light is reflecting, you're saying what? The light is projecting the image.
Yes.
Now listen. When Christ, Colossians 3 and 4, reading your Bibles, when Christ, who is our life, he's our life. When he shall appear, when he shall banner, when he shall manifest in his true nature, then shall we appear with him in glory, in doxa. Then shall we appear with him in the same opinions.
Yes.
Saying the same thing he says.
Amen.
The same values. We live the same life we live.
Yes.
You understand what we're talking about?
Yes.
We are coming by the word of God. The shout has come down. The King of glory has descended. A prophet of God so reflected that light that people thought he was.
Yes.
He so reflected the light of Jesus Christ, people thought he was Jesus Christ. Now listen. So if we appear when he appears, if we manifest in our true identity when he manifests in his true identity in his hour, then he says that we shall appear with him in glory, which is doxa, opinion, value, judgment. In other words, we are to manifest when he manifests.
Yes.
With the same mind that was in Christ.
Yes.
Then if it is the same mind, then it will be the same attitude that he had towards his Father's Word.
Yes.
Then shouldn't we have the same attitude in our homes?
Yes.
As he would have?
Amen.
Shouldn't the atmosphere in our home be the same atmosphere we have in the church tonight?
Amen.
In 1 John 3 and 2 we read, beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Yes.
But it does not yet appear what we should be. In other words, we're not doing a pretty good job of it.
No.
But we know that when he shall appear, at the appearing, there's appearing before the coming. Brother Brown said, now is appearing, the pillar of fire is appearing with us in the midst of people. Getting us ready for the coming. Then shall we appear with him, and because we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the more, listen, the more your focus is on Christ, the more you become like Christ.
Amen.
Listen, Peter reflected Christ. He acted Christ. Christ walked in the water. Peter walked in the water.
Yes.
But you know what? As soon as Peter took his eyes off the one walking in the water, his eyes fell to me. All the circumstances.
Yes.
Peter's son.
Yes.
As long as Peter was looking at, listen, when you're looking in the mirror, right? You put your hand up, the hand's up in the mirror. Put your other hand up, the other hand's up in the mirror. When you're walking toward the mirror, that person's walking toward you.
Yes.
And Jesus was walking. Peter saw that. Peter became the reflected image of Christ, except in the water, doing the same thing that Jesus did.
Yes.
And he did the same thing. He walked in the water. He blew away the natural laws.
Yes.
Because the entered into a supernatural law.
Glory!
The law of life in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Then, if we believe that when he appears, and we see him appear in this hour, we are to be like him, then wouldn't that create an atmosphere around us like he had? It did with Brother Branham because he was so human as an obedient son.
Yes.
Why then are we not seeing the same thing among the churches today? Shouldn't we have the same atmosphere in our homes as we do in the church, which is his house of prayer?
Amen.
In Ephesians 2, 3 and 20 we read, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
And that word worketh is translated from the Greek word energy. Or energy on. And it means to display one's activity, to effectually work, and it speaks of the energies of the one doing the work. Now, I've had young people come to me in church and say, you know, I really love this message of Brother Brandon, but I just can't live it. And they're expecting me to say, you know, to give them some reflection, I just say, well, of course not. No one can live it. But Jesus can.
Yes.
So all he wants you to do is get out of the way.
Amen.
Is God to yourself and let Him live your life for you? You see, Jesus died so that you can live. First coming, right? Now, Jesus, God, wants you to die so that Jesus, His Son, can live again in you. And you're ready for second coming, a period before the coming.
Hallelujah! The expression before the materialization of it.
Alright. Now, and unto Him that is able to do, not unto you that are able to do, but unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that worketh in us. And that word work is translated as energy. So our own predestination comes forth from God's own purpose. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. God's own purpose in which He worketh all things after the counsel of His own word. In fact, the Bible says, and I believe it's Philippians or Colossians, one of those places. Paul says, God is working in you, both to will and to do. You see, you have to come to the place where you let the will of God enter in, and then the doing takes place naturally. Jesus, that's living by the faith of the Son of God. Because Jesus Himself came to Gethsemane. Brother Branham said He wanted to dodge the cross. That's His word. You can look it up if you have a thing. He wanted to dodge the cross, but He said, Father,
hallelujah.
He said, it's My will that You take this cup from Me. But nevertheless, not My will. But Thy will be done.
God working in him,
both to will, and then He walked to Calvary and to do.
Jesus had to die to Jesus before He could die physically on the cross.
You understand?
Yes.
The man Christ Jesus, the anointed Son of God, had to die to His own desire.
Yes.
And He said, My meat is to do the will of My Father. He said, the Son always pleases the Father. Now we say that, but do we do that? But if God is in you to say it, God is also in you to do it. You just have to die to yourself. Amen? Now, so our predestination comes from God's own purpose. Now, this word worketh is also the energy of God. And it means to show forth one's self. Therefore, it is the expression of the one who is doing the work. It is the effectual, fervent effort on behalf of the one it is directed towards. So see then, it is not your doing the work at all, but just getting out of the way and letting Christ live out your life for you. Now you might ask, well, how can I get myself out of the picture? Then God can live my life for me. Well, first of all, He is the Word, and He is love. Now, Jesus said, Spirit and truth, and My Word, He said, is Spirit and life. So the life must be governed by the Spirit, and all in accordance to God's Word, which is His will. Now, that is the governing agent, or the boundaries that we have in living this life, is that God's Word is our conduit. And as long as the light is living itself out within the conduit of the Word, then we know that God is love. Now,
the same light that's flowing through there, the same light that flows through the projector, the same light that's in the computer, the same light that's in this microphone. It's the same electricity, right?
So the electricity, the same God worketh all in all. Now, Paul talks about the operation of the gift. He said every man has a measure of faith. But he says in one place, he says, though I have all faith to move mountains.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You see, you think that you've got to work yourself up into, oh, I'm going to have to work myself up into a rapturing faith. No, you got to work yourself into the faith of the Son of God. Because he had faith that God would run for him. He had faith that God would live among him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because faith is not a substance. Faith is the person.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Paul said it's the same If the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken or make alive your mortal body by His same Spirit that dwells in you. The same electricity turns the light on, the same electricity right to the microphone, the same electricity to the speakers. The same faith you have for your finances. The same faith you have to get a job. The same faith you have for healing. It's the same faith you have for salvation. It's the same faith you have for getting your children saved because you're applying your faith for them. Father, you can do this for me. I believe you've done it for me. And now I believe you've done it for my children.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that when Job, he said when Job had everything taken away, he said he got back double everything except for he got the same amount of children. He said it wasn't other children, it was the same children. He said, where were they? They were kept guarded in heaven. Isaiah said, all thy children, all thy offspring with them. Now either God promised him or he didn't promise him. When you limit God and say, well, but not my kids, you call God a liar.
Amen.
That's right. What did Paul say to the Philippians? You are healed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thy and thy house. I went over this with our church just a couple weeks ago. I showed them about five or six scriptures. And many quotes from Brother Brown. Brother Brown said, Job's kids, some of them were married off. They were married. They were not living under his house, but they were still his children. He said, and they were out partying. And he said, he didn't know if they were sinning while they're partying or not. But he offered the token regardless. They didn't even know it. They didn't come as a message because mom and dad valued them to death. They were saved because they had a father who was dedicated to applying the token. You see, fathers, it comes down to you, but I'm not going to say his father because Rahab was a harlot.
Right.
And her whole family was saved. He said, get them into it, and all of them will be saved. Well, Lord, I hope that 5-6 of my children will be saved. No, I want all of my children saved.
Amen.
You think God is going to leave any of his seed behind?
No.
Listen, he knows how you feel. He felt our infirmities. He'd be a respecter person. He said, well, my seed are going to make it, but my seed aren't. The promise in Isaiah is all of their offspring with him. You hold on to that promise and believe in that promise and watch God step in and do it. For it's Him working in you. Both to will and then to do. All you got to do is one simple thing, just die. Die to who you are, die to your own ambition, die to who you think, you know, just let Christ live, let Christ be better. Now look, we have people who are very legal and they say, well, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And then we have those who are very charismatic and say, Spirit, 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 Spirit. And yet they're both wrong. It is a Spirit governed by the Word. She said it must be both Word and Spirit because it said my words are Spirit and they are true. And what governs the Word is love. For God so loved the world, He gave. The Word without love is legalistic. Love without the Word is in danger of lust. But God is both the Word and love, and He is light. So our life, molded by His Word, is governed by love. Now Galatians 5:6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You love your kids, right? Beth, you love your kids. Alright, the Bible says the faith which worketh by love. You grab the faith of Jesus Christ and the love you have for your children, and you apply it and you watch God go over. Faith which worketh by love. Now Paul tells us again that our faith worketh by love. The word for worketh is a Greek word energio, and it means energized. Our faith is energized by our love. From personal experience with God, Brother Brown said, now we say we have faith. We have love. But if we had love, we'd have faith. For that is perfect love casteth out all fear. And when fear is gone, faith is perfect.
Hallelujah.
The Apostle Paul said our faith works by love, therefore we must first have love in order to bring forth our faith. Now, wisdom versus faith, Brother Ramsey, the disciples had sown into them, and then the Spirit come to energize that word. See, not by power nor by might, not by wisdom, not by understanding. See, it's not how well you know the doctrine. Not by this, not by that, but by my Spirit I will energize my word. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work.
Yes.
Remember they said to Brother Ramon, well, you sure don't know your Bible. As I know the author of the word.
Yes. Amen.
You're not going to be, look, you're not going to rapture because you got your doctrine right. No. I know denominations that teach the doctrine that William Branham taught, not all of it, but some of it. And they've got certain portions of it very, very right. But they're also denominations, they have the mark of the beast. The Bible says the devil believes, but he trembles. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remember without ceasing your work of faith. And listen, I'm not saying do away with doctrine. What I'm saying is the doctrine is a tool. It's a tool to help you to understand so you're not up, you're down, you're not up, you're down, you're up and down, up and down. It's like opening a book and you see the beginning and the end and you know your past.
Yes.
And you say, okay, it's my map. The doctrine's my map. I'm going to step in the doctrine and see the pattern of Jesus Christ, the eldest son of the vast family of brothers, and I'm going to walk in. I'm just going to be focused on him. And now I don't need to know how the Logos, the intricacies of how the Logos came out and what part was what and what in everything else. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
As long as I see Christ. As long as I see that pattern, he's the firstborn, he's the eldest son, he's my pattern, he's my example, see, Brother Ramsey said. And so when I get focused on him, all things, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Amen. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. A capital three words, work of faith. And your labor of love. And your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and your Father. Now notice, Paul speaks of the works of faith. And the labor of love. And the patience of hope. Now the word of, it means out from. Having a source from.
Yes.
So, therefore we can read it as your works which spring forth or spring out from your faith.
Amen.
You see, Paul said there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Well, you say, wait a minute, Revelation? Revelation is faith. Revelation the greatest. No. He says the greatest of these is the expression. You see, because faith is the revelation. Hope is an earnest expectation which comes out of that revelation.
Yes.
And love is the expression of the revelation. A young man, he says, well, I really love that girl. I mean, I'm not going to marry that girl. God revealed me, she's going to be my wife. If it's a true revelation, it builds up a scene within the young man, and he puts it into action. Like Brother Brown said, if you know, when the fire is burnt up, it's burning that coals inside of the choo-choo train, he said, it begins to build up energy. He said, the problem is, the Pentecostal, that it all about the whistle. You see, the problem is that we talk. We're good. The message people are like to talk. We're just good at talk the word, get the end, talk the word, and we're not stepping into the vision. The Bible says that there are three promises for us to be conformed to the first four sons, to be manifest the sons of God, to come to the adoption. We've got to recognize it, we've got to hear it, recognize it, we've got to step into it, we've got to look for the hearing, recognizing, and then what? Upon the word of God.
Hallelujah.
You see, he tells us the parable. He said, the rains descended, the floods came, and everything else. He said, he that hears my word and does not do them, the rains fell, the floods came, and watch what he's telling us because it wasn't founded upon a rock. He said, he that hears my word and does them is like a man who's founded his house upon a rock. Revelation. Now, see, if it's truly revealed, then you act upon it. Because hearing, then recognizing. Recognition is a revelation. Because everybody hears the true and false alike. They all heard. But hearing, then recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God. You've got to step into the vision. Father, you said there's going to be a woman.
Yes.
You said, Father, that the shout moves into the voice.
We've got to be in the challenge of the message in order to be there and be part of the voice of the resurrection. I'm going to be in that tent. I don't know about you. God's already given me a dream. I've seen it. I was there. Billy Paul was young. I've seen exactly. Like Brother Brown said, it's either a tent or it's a cathedral. You know why? Because the tent is going to look like a cathedral. It's going to have those rounded ceilings. It's going to have rounded walls like they have today. They grow them up with air. God let me see that. I believe I'm going to be there. I saw my family. I saw everybody I knew. I mean, you believers. Brother, sister, and look. You say, well, you're not a prophet. No, I'm not a prophet. The Bible says that, behold, your young men and your young women shall see dreams and they shall have visions. I'm still a firm believer that God touches us and lets us have. He builds our faith in these things. Alright? Notice then the Weeks translation says, remembering unceasingly your works which were produced and characterized by the faith which is yours. And your toil which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love. You see, the guy who, I've got a revelation, a true revelation, you should only be my life. It builds such an excitement and earnest expectation, which is the word hope, that it produces in him an action. He begins to court. He begins to buy flowers and roses, you know, and chocolates and things like that. And he's doing everything. He's giving everything because he's got a revelation. He's got an earnest expectation. He's earnestly expecting. You see, if he's not earnestly expecting, he's going to say, wait a minute, I better not give her that iPad. I better not give her that cell phone. Because you know what? I might not see her again. And then I throw money down the drain. That's what that's true. But the faith produces an energy, and the energy produces a result.
Yes.
And the result is called love. For God so loved, He gave.
Hallelujah.
You see, that's why in the Bible it's referred to as charity. Because always the love of God produces a giving from the people, an action from the people, a doing from the people. And so Paul says, remembering unceasingly your works which were produced and characterized by what? By the faith which is yours. And your toil which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love. And your patient endurance under trial which finds its source in your hope, which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God, even our Father. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Now notice Paul tells us the same church at Thessalonica, 7 years later, when he writes to them in 2 Thessalonians 1:2, he said, grace unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And Paul said, your faith is growing and it is showing in the way that you treat one another. When you treat people and you say, well, I've got this revelation, you don't got it, therefore you're out. You know what? You don't got it. You got it here. But you're fearful, and that's why you treat them that way. If you truly had the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you would do as Jesus said, no greater love that a man has than he lays down his
body.
I don't travel to all these countries and go to all these, some of these places are just almost God forsaken. But they're not God forsaken because he has children there.
Amen.
But I don't go to these places where there's snakes and spiders and poisonous this and that and mosquitoes and you know, sometimes you get mosquitoes just all over the pulpit and everything else. I don't go there because I want to just push some doctrine. Quick grief. I have better time with them than pushing doctrine. I do that because I'm a son of God. And I do that because I caught a revelation.
Yes.
That God came down with a shot of William Brown caught the revelation that he was son of God too.
Yes.
And he began to reflect or echo the shout of the brother around him. And I caught the revelation, hey, I'm a son of God too.
Yes.
And you know what? God's got some other sons out there.
Yes.
And nobody else was doing it, so I just stepped into the vision.
Sorry.
And God has brought about a materialization. And I could go on and on tonight about the power of God I've seen personally, just firsthand.
stopping storms, changing weather, dropping temperature. People were hot and miserable from 110 degrees down to 68 degrees, just a matter of like that. You talk about the nuclear energy to produce a wind and storm to blow down all that heat, get it out of there, so that God's children can have rest and relaxation in His presence. I've seen countless times, brothers and sisters. I've seen parts of their foot cut off and God blown back. I've seen the power of God. You know, one of the first things I remember going back to is a brother had, well, I'm not going to get into it tonight. But anyway, I've seen the miracles, countless miracles. I've seen, not more than Jesus. Of course, I'm not there yet. But I just walked right in. Let me just read a few quotes from close. From Investments. For the rest of Jesus Christ, when they expressed the image of God, He was what God, through His power, projected. The body which is called the Son became because He was a man, and He come from God. And He was so committed to God, till He didn't think it robbery, that Him and God being the same person. And they were, because God was the Word, and He was the Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And therefore God could take His Word without any interruption. He was constantly doing what the Father wanted done, and there the Word could work through Him, and Him and the Father became one. Now, he says, and He took that perfect life and all of our sins and placed upon the perfect life, and He died that we renegades could die to ourselves. And He bore them above. And I have one more quote here I want to let you read. And we know that without being born again, for the rest of you never reach the rapture. Alright. Let me just read this last quote. If I can get there. Yeah, I've got just too many. I had about 5 pages left, but let me just read. And I know it's getting long. Brother Ramsey from Total Deliverance, he said Jesus was completely, totally man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could become like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. And in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the Spirit that was in him. You see, he was tempted in all manner like we are. He was a man, not an angel. He was a man. He had desires and temptations just like we do. The Bible said he did. He was a man, not an angel of temptation. Hebrews 1 says that he was. Hebrews 1:4 says he was made lower than the angels. He was a man, completely man. That God, now listen, a complete man has body, soul, and spirit. I'm not going to get into the intricacies. That's not important. He was a man, completely man, that God could take a complete man to bring total deliverance. And he filled him with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in him without measure. And he was tempted like we were. Now, can you imagine? This man was filled with the very presence and power of God. And yet he was tempted by the same temptations. And he was completely God because he proved it when he raised the dead, when he stopped the storm, the roaring seas, the mighty winds, when he spoke to the trees and so forth, that they obeyed him. He was completely God. And he could have been man, for he was man. But he totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hand of God for the service of God. And he is our example. Oh, that is so beautiful. We are men and women. We are all Christians. If he's our example, let us completely deliver ourselves into the hand of the Holy Ghost, that we might be subjects of the kingdom of God. He was totally man, he was totally God, but he surrendered his natural parts and his physical parts and his own thinking. Amen. And his own doing and his own cares. And he said, I do only that which pleases the Father. There you are, totally delivered from human beings. The priest come to him, the great man, the rabbi did. And so, and they tried to bribe him into their affiliation and denomination, but he was totally delivered because he trusted in God. Did not the psalmist say, thou wilt deliver him, for he completely trusted in me? Yes. So Jesus was so committed to his Father that he did nothing for what God showed him to do. He spoke nothing but what God commanded him to speak. He taught no doctrine but what God gave him to teach, and he did not his own will, but the will of him that sent him. That's what our reason for prayer. Gracious Father, we just pray. Knowing that we are to come into the image of the firstborn Son, we are to be conformed to that image. Help us, Father, to not speak unless you speak the words which came forth from you through your word. Help us not to do anything but what we see you do. Help us, oh God, not to live just any old life, but to live the same life that your Son Jesus
lived.
And help us to do the works that he did. These four things we ask in the precious name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the eldest in the vast family of brothers, and who we are ordained to be conformed to that image.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let us, in closing, in Brother Nate, come on for Brother.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, on earth I long. To be like Him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory.